He served at the Pentagon as an Army JAG. He graduated from Notre Dame and has two law degrees from Boston University and Georgetown University. He's been practicing law for over 30 years. He's your family's personal attorney. It's time for the David Carrier Show.
Hello and welcome to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. You have found the place where we talk about estate planning, elder law, real estate, and business law. If you have a question, comment, or concern about wills, trusts, or probate, if you're wondering how do we beat the high cost of long-term care, how does all that Medicaid stuff work, and can we get help if mom or dad is still at home, if my spouse is still at home, is help available, or do we have to go to the nursing home? That's a good question. Well, give us a call at 888-463-2843. That's 888-463-2843, and we'll get your question, comment, or concern on the air. Of course, if you're also wondering about real estate or business law, give us a shout at 888-463-2843. That's 888-GO-DAVID. And, of course, you can use that number if you'd like to sign up for one of our free Life Plan workshops. Love to see you at the Life Plan workshops. We're doing these now. Well, you know, we used to say every week the good Lord brings. Well, now we're doing, putting on the Life Plan workshops twice a week, two times for every week the good Lord brings. And then, of course, don't forget, we've got the Black Friday workshop that's coming up. That's the day after Thanksgiving, in case you're a long-term planner. Life Plan, the Black Friday workshop, of course, always a special event for us because that is the only workshop throughout the whole year when we serve pie. That's right, pie on Black Friday. But if you'd like to get in earlier than that, no problem. We've added on a few more workshops to sort of make it easier for you. If you get the shopping plans for Black Friday. Of course, you know, if you're planning on shopping on Black Friday, it's not a bad way to, you know, kick back just a little bit. You know, one of the things, I always have to remember this. Don't forget that you can always email me, david@davidcarrierlaw.com. That's david@davidcarrierlaw.com. Or drop me an email, david@davidcarrierlaw.com. And if you do go to the website, we actually, you know, you don't want to share your email address or something like that. If you just want to make a comment, what have you, you can do that through the website. How's that for high tech? Pretty good. Anyway, I don't know if I've shared with you in the past that I work with other attorneys. I actually coach other attorneys who do this sort of work, who do the elder law and the estate planning and whatnot. And not in this state, in different states. And one of them said something last week that really, you know, I don't want to say caused me to despair, but it did sort of set me back a little bit. And what he said was, it's only money. It's only money. We do this kind of planning, and the comment came out, it's only money. And it really made me, here's the thing. What is money? You know, let's get back to first principles. What is money? And sometimes people say, well, it's a medium of exchange. Well, yeah, okay. It's what they give you for working, right? True enough. But what I say is money is really two things. Money is choices. See, if you have money, then you get to make choices. And in my world, the reason we do all of this stuff is to make sure that you have choices, because the way the world works, okay, if you need the long-term care, if your spouse needs the long-term care, you don't get choices. You get what's left over. You get what, here's what's left. Money is choices. If you have the money, you get, it's not only money, okay? It's the difference between sharing a room with three other people and a private room. It's the difference between getting the care that you need, that your loved one needs, and not. That's what money is in this context. You know, it's only money, and that's one side of it, okay. And that's one of the reasons why we're so passionate, really, about making sure that that you hold on to your money. Because if you don't hold on to it, what's left? And think about, see, and this is the other thing. If you think about the way that you live your life, you know, think about the way the things that you've done and all the rest of it. Why is that a bad thing, that your choices should continue to count throughout your lifetime? Well, we do have a caller on the line. Good morning. Welcome to the David Carrier Show. Oh, we're jumping the gun on the caller. Sorry. Okay, Roy. Oop. I can. We're almost there. See now, if it's anybody else, we'd be teasing you, but we're not, because we actually do have a caller online and ready to go. Okay. Good morning, Roy. Welcome to the David Carrier Show.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
More than welcome. How can I help?
Well, my question was concerning myths that I may have heard over the years about the state opening safe deposit boxes at the time of death. I just wondered if you could clear that up, since you have experience.
Well, if you why don't you tell me what the myth is, and then I'll tell you what the reality is.
Well,
how about that?
Just simply that you have to be very careful about what you put in them, because the state will come in at time of death, I guess in every case, and open it up, and they look at what's there, and so on.
Well, number one, I think you do have to be careful about what you put in a safe deposit box. I would agree 100% on that. But the way that works is if a decedent's name is on the box. You know, see, what we generally will do is we'll generally put the box in the trust, and then the trustee has access to it. But if a decedent's name is the owner of the box, then we have to go to the probate court and get an order to inventory the contents of the box. Nobody gets to take anything out. It's not the state of Michigan that does it. It's not the state that does it. But the heirs have to get an order from the probate court to open and inventory the box. You don't get to take anything out of it. But you have to be there in the presence of an officer and just kind of go through it and say, okay, was there a will in there? Were there other testamentary documents in there to indicate who's supposed to get the stuff? But if you don't want you don't want strangers seeing what's in your safe deposit box, either put it in your trust so that your trustee will always have that confidentiality, or that's how you do it, right? Because
very
otherwise.
Nice.
Yeah, because otherwise,
that's a big help.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
You betcha. Yeah. The state doesn't really care what's in your safe deposit box, and it's not the state that comes in. It's the it's your survivors. You know, they can come in and say, "Hey, Mom always told us she had a will." In fact, that's one of the emails we'll get to in a little bit about people who tell you that they have wills and they don't. But your mom always said she had a will and we can't find it anywhere in the house, so we got to open the safe deposit box and get the order from the court. But that's just to inventory the box to find out if Mom has any money in there, right? To find out if they're embarrassing things, don't just leave them lying around there, or as they say, put it into the hands of someone that you can trust. When we get back, I want to talk a little bit more about money, because, you know, on the one hand, money is choices. If you do have money, you do get to make choices, which is what this elder law stuff is all about, to make sure that your choices last as long as you do. But it's a little bit more than that. And I just, every once in a while, I get somebody who says, it's only money. And it's like, well, when we get back, we'll go into that a little bit more. Why is it not only money? I believe it's a lot more than that. I believe it's not only into the future, you know, which is the choices part of it. Yeah, you know, why do we hang on to the money? Why do we do the asset protection part of it? Why do we do the elder law part of it? Why do we make sure that your money lasts as long as you do? It's important, and it's not just a practical thing. It's also, I believe, a well, this will make everybody turn off the radio. It's a philosophical thing as well. It really is. Well, we'll cover that when we get back. You've been listening to The David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. Welcome back to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. This is the place where we talk about estate planning, elder law, real estate, and business law. But you already knew that. This morning we're talking about money. What is money? It's the reason I'm going off on this is because, as I've said before, I coach other attorneys, and you know, this is not easy stuff to do. Okay, the whole estate planning, elder law stuff. You got to keep up on a lot of things. You've got to anyway. You know, I'm not playing the violin for myself. I'm just saying, it takes a lot of commitment. Frankly, you know, it takes early mornings at the radio station. It takes late nights getting people's documents together. It's not that easy stuff. And one of the pushback I got from one of the attorneys I work with, one of the attorneys I coach, not even in the state, frankly, but was, wow, you know, you talk about this, we got to do this and that and the other thing, and it's only money. It's only money. What's the big deal? And I got to tell you, that's it's like, you know, what rock have you been living under? Okay, the importance of doing this comes from two sources. One is the practicality of the thing. What is money? Money is choices. We do the estate planning. We do the elder law stuff, primarily the elder law, because you know how I feel about the kids. Look, you want to leave it to the zoo? I'm four square with that. You want to leave it to the church? Wonderful. Greater glory. Good with that. Good with all that. But so it's not about how we get it to the next generation or how we benefit the charitable beneficiaries or anything like that. The whole point of what we're doing here, the meaning of the exercise comes from making sure that you, your spouse, are okay, despite the fact that, you know, long-term care is a reality for many, many people. Well, how do we make sure that the golden years really are that way? You know, and nobody likes to look, we travel, but now this, right? You know, long-term care, what have you. Well, you know, people still people. Choices still matter. The fact of the matter is, if you don't have money, your choices don't matter. You just get whatever is on the table. You get whatever, here, this is what we got for you. You don't like it? Well, that's too bad. That's why we hold on to the money. That's number one. But here's the other thing. A lot of people talk about, and by people I mean opinion makers, you know, whether it's, whether it's a preacher or the preacher and the teacher, you know, whatever. They life savings, right? You have life savings. Well, where did they come from? And a lot of people talk about it as if it's quote unquote only money, like it just fell out of the sky or something. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's just numbers in a bank account. Oh, it's just numbers. It's just money. You know, well, movie stars get to feel that way about it because, let's face it, they didn't do very much for it, it seems to me. A lot of people willing to pay for it. I'm not grudging them that, but, you know, the people I work with, that money, that life savings is a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, okay? It's a lot of taking the overtime. It's a lot of not running up the credit card. It's a lot of work, work, work. It's values-driven, you see? Nothing frazzles me more than when people say, oh, it's only money, as if, what do you mean it's only money? It isn't. It's testimony is what it is, okay? It's testimony. Now, I'm not saying money's a slippery thing, okay? It's a slippery, slippery thing because, a love of money, root of all evil and all the rest. I get that, okay? And I'm not, so don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it's an all or nothing proposition. I'm not saying that. I mean, at the edges, things get weird, okay? And people get unlucky sometimes, and some people get lucky sometimes. I get all that. And I'm not talking about you can give me a million counterexamples of what I'm saying. I get it, okay? But in general, you know, we're looking at the, looking at our, to make some decisions about where we put our files. We're over 10,000, we're closing in on 11,000 client files, family files now, and we call them family files, at the office. It's like, okay, been down this road, closing in on 11,000 times, you know, and I've seen, you know, people who got lucky, and I've seen people who got unlucky, okay, but you know, that's not what usually happens. That's not the usual story. The usual story behind the families that I serve are people who worked, who did the overtime, who took 2 weeks of vacation in the, you know, with their kids, who planned ahead, who did things very solidly, okay? And that, quote-unquote, only money is a testimony to a life well lived, okay? Now, don't tell me that, oh, you know, somebody, yeah, I don't care about the counterexamples. That's not what I'm talking about. Out of the, you know, 10,000-plus families that we've worked with, all right? This is the usual thing. The usual thing is that it's, I did the right thing. I cared for my family. I looked out for other people. You know, I did what I was supposed to do. And there are tangible, real benefits to doing what you're supposed to do. Okay? So when we talk about the estate planning, when we talk about the elder law, when we do this kind of stuff, the key here is it's a values conversation. It's not about only money. It's about a life well lived, okay? When you have a nest egg, and when we have people with nest eggs from, you know, millions of dollars to $83,000, you know, and sometimes less. But, you know, it's the widow's mite. You know, it's the idea that, hey, what I've got I earned. What I preserved, it's because I made good choices, okay? It doesn't take that much money, honestly. It doesn't take that much money to make a big difference in the context of what we're talking about, in the long-term care context, in the passing it on to the kids. It doesn't take that much. But the money, right, is a testimony to the things that you've done, is a testimony to your values. You can't separate the two most of the time. So when somebody tells me it's only money, or, you know, what are you so concerned about this or that for? It's like, I really think you don't get it. I don't know who you've been hanging out with, you know, rap stars and movie moguls or something. I don't know who you've been hanging out with. If you think this is easy come, easy go. All right. Well, you've been listening to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. Welcome back to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. You have found the place where we talk about estate planning, elder law, real estate, and business law. The only show on the radio where the bumper music is better than the show itself. That's true. You can sign up for a free life plan workshop if you choose to do so. Just come to the website, davidcarrierlaw.com. You can drop us an email, david@davidcarrierlaw.com. That's the email. But, you know, the advantage of going to the website, here's the advantage of going to the website. The upcoming workshops are right on there, okay? And if you want to get early admission to the Black Friday workshop. See, here's the thing. People, well, why do you do a workshop on Black Friday? And as a matter of, this Black Friday, of course, is the day after Thanksgiving, the official start of the Christmas shopping season, right? Well, what was the unofficial start? I think 4th of July, right? Sometime in August, I think, was the unofficial start when Toys R Us started offering things on layaway and everything else. Well, anyway, Black Friday, the big shopping day after Thanksgiving, we do not one but two workshops, and these are special workshops because they're the only workshops throughout the year when we serve pie. That's right, pumpkin pie, mince pie, any kind of pie, whatever, there will be pie at the Black Friday workshop. So if you'd like to come to that one, by all means. Of course, we've got plenty of workshops in the meantime. We've added new ones. We've added some to the schedule so that you don't have to wait until Black Friday. Because the purpose of the workshop, I've got to be very clear about this, purpose of the workshop is to get the conversation started, okay? Lots of times people come to the workshop for all kinds of reasons, like just retired, mom and dad just went into long-term care, my spouse is not doing so well. I just finally decided I wanted to do something about this. And the purpose of the workshop, the reason we do them so often, is so that when your family situation gets to the point of, hey, you know, maybe we should do something about this. We're going to be there for you. Okay? You know, when you flip the switch, you get home, it's dark, you flip the switch, what happens? The lights go on. Well, that's kind of the idea here. Okay? When you need the lights to go on, they go on. When you need to come to a workshop, we're there for you. It's simple as that. This is not a, you know, oh, boy, the circus is in town. We better get over there quick. It's not like that. Not like that at all, really. It's just a matter of, hey, these are important issues. People got to deal with them at some point in their lives. And when it's your family's turn, well, we're going to be there. That's well, that was the commitment we made when we started doing these on a very regular basis. You know, it used to be every quarter or something like that. But then rather than it just turns out that there are certain issues that everybody faces. There's certain ways that the world works. And since they changed the rules back in 2006, the only way to kind of acquaint people with the fact that the world really doesn't work the way you think it does. It doesn't work that way. Understand why you think it does, but it really doesn't. And the Life Plan Workshop is a way to say, hey, here's what the world really looks like, at least this part of it. And you're very familiar with your own part. I did want to just restate the just real briefly. So I'm not gonna, you know, at this point, because you know that people tune in, tune out. So I don't want to be boring the people who've been with us since the show started, but it's an important point to make. This past week, I was talking to one of my coaching attorney. I don't know what you call them, coachlings or whatever. Point is, I work with other attorneys. I tell them how this stuff works and just try to bring them along. And the, you know, the firms I work with are in other states. They're not in our state. But one of them came back at me this week with, well, why do we have to do all this? Why is it that important? It's only money, which completely flipped me out. Simply because, to me, the money that our families have, that the people we work with, and we're pushing 11,000 now, 11,000 families that we've been working with, it's 10,000 plus. The reason that just totally frazzles me is because money is really two things. Going forward into the future, money is choices. Money is what makes it possible for you to live the maximum life you can on this side, okay, on this side of the divide. It makes it possible for you to have the certified nurse assistant. It makes it possible for your spouse to be well cared for. It makes it possible for you to stay at home as long as possible. That's what money is, okay? If you don't have the money, if you don't have money, some dollars at least, and then you get whatever's on the board, you know, whatever's available. Okay, well, you've never lived your life that way. Is that how you lived your life? Well, hey, whatever you're willing to give me. You know, it's the old beggars and choosers kind of thing. Okay, well, believe me. Talked to enough of you guys. You guys aren't beggars, you're choosers. You know, because you've made choices throughout your lifetime. It seems to me appropriate that should continue to happen. And money is choices. You get to decide when you have money. And you have made decisions. So that's the one going forward. Why is it important to have the money? Because it means that your choices continue to matter. But more philosophically, when you look back, what are life savings? What is it? The fact that you have life savings, what does that mean? It means that you took the overtime. That's what it means. It means that on some holidays, you worked. It means that, you know, you didn't unlock the equity in your home to get the vacation you deserve. You didn't mortgage your home to go on vacation, okay? You did the right things. You did the sorts of things that you should have done throughout your lifetime. And the fact that you have life savings now, right, is a testimony to virtue, okay? People who live, this is why I absolutely believe this. People who live a virtuous life, in America at least, right? If you do the things that your mom and dad told you to do, it's pretty tough to wind up broke. It happens. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. People have bad luck and circumstances. Look, the tragedy in my own family. I get it. I understand that. I'm not, you know, so don't tell me that, oh, well, you know, this person had MS or that person. I know that happens. I get it. But what I'm saying is, out of all the families that we've served, over 10,000 now, that's not what usually happens. You know, it isn't the case that usually you find a gold nugget in your backyard and that's where your life savings came. Usually what happens is you worked hard. You did the thing. You got up early and you stayed up late. And you did your taxes and you tried this and you tried that. and you busted your hump, and the fact of the matter is that the life savings you have reflect your values. If you didn't, you know, you didn't have values, you wouldn't have your life savings. And I'm not saying, again, I want to be sensitive to people who have had unfortunate circumstances and all the rest, because that does happen, but that doesn't usually happen. And what usually happens is, if you live your life the way you know you're supposed to, good things happen. Not just spiritually good things, but materially good things. You wind up with your own house. You wind up with going on vacation from time to time. You know, you don't have to worry about the tires being worn out and all the rest, because you know what? You didn't buy the $5 cup of coffee four times a week. You didn't do that, right? You saved that money. You said, hey, I'll brew my own coffee. No big deal, right? You know, you did the things you needed to do to make sure that you could take care of yourself. And the world is such a place that when you do those good things result. I solemnly believe that. So when people tell me, oh, it's only money, it's like, you know, what rock have you been living under? I mean, open your eyes, will you please? Understand. Look, yeah, I know TV shows tell you something different. I get that, right? And I understand that every once in a while you have somebody who just stumbles on it, and bad guys, apparently in the movies now, the bad guys who get the gold or whatever. I understand that. But, you know, in the real world where people really live, if you do the good things, if you're, you know, what's the Boy Scout virtues? What? Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Well, if the fact that people have life savings means that they've been doing those sorts of things. It's almost a one-to-one, it seems to me. You've been listening to The David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. Give us a call, why don't you? 888-463-2843. We'll get your question, comment, or concern on the air. Welcome back to The David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. Give us a call, why don't you? 888-463-2843. That's 888-463-2843. And we'd love to get your question, comment, or concern on the air. We're going to get to a few emails here. We had enough. I'm going to guess you've had enough philosophy for the day. How do I find out if a deceased person had a will? Mother-in-law passed away. She always said she had a will. Brother-in-law, who's getting everything, says they can't find one. Now, here's the deal. What's going on with this email? Well, it's not immediately obvious, not immediately clear. But I think what's going on is that brother-in-law gets... we don't know if this is brother-in-law or sister-in-law, but the mother-in-law has died. So let's assume that the person's spouse has died also. So the only relationship between the person writing the email, it's at the mother-in-law, okay? Because otherwise it would go to the child to whom the writer is married. Are you with me on that? So if mom doesn't have a will, the only way that the in-law is going to take, the in-law is not going to take, the only way that they would take is if there was a, you know, if there was a will. So mother-in-law's passed away. She always said she had a will. Well, how did that come up in conversation? Somebody must have asked. And she, oh, yeah, I got one, I got one. Listen, nothing is more common than people telling you that they've got a will or a trust or something. Oh, it's all set up. It's all set up. When that is not actually the case. Just not the case. So the thing is, if you're expecting that your in-laws are going to leave you something because your spouse died and they, oh, don't worry, Susie, you're all taken care of, don't count on that. Don't count on it. It's kind of awkward to say, well, if that's right, well, then show me the will. Well, if you got the guts to do that, if you got the guts to do that, power on, charge on. But otherwise, don't be surprised if it doesn't work out that way. We got Mary from Grand Rapids on the line. Good morning, Mary. Welcome to the David Carrier Show.
Hi. Good morning.
How can I help?
Well, I'm calling because I'm interested in knowing about a ladybird deed and
sure.
Do they work, and is it a good thing to do?
Well, you know, no matter what you talk about in this area, whether or not, let me answer your last question first, whether or not it's a good thing to do, Depends on your circumstances. Depends on, you know, what are all the assets and what are we trying to do and how many kids are there and what kind of health situation you have. It's a very personal kind of thing. Is it a good idea for you? I don't know. Every tool in the toolbox has a function, right? And the Ladybird deed is one of the tools in the toolbox. And it's one that's gotten a lot of attention recently, and it's not always it's proposed as sort of a, you know, it's a the magic elixir, you know, that's going to solve everything. Well, here's the deal with the Ladybird deed, also called an enhanced life estate deed or a transfer on death deed. The purpose of the Ladybird deed is to say, look, during my lifetime, it's my house, it's my land, it's my farm, okay? It's my real estate. But I'm going to give it to my kids. But if during my lifetime I want to mortgage it, put a lien on it, whatever, I want to do anything with it, it's still mine. So the way the law looks at that is there's no transfer of the real estate until death. So it avoids probate because it's not in your name when you die, so it doesn't have to go through probate. But in the meantime, while you're alive, you can do anything you want with it. So people have seized on this as, oh, well, this is a wonderful way to avoid probate. Okay, get it to the kids. Wonderful. And for Medicaid purposes, and this is very important, for estate recovery, which is simply in Michigan, it's only a probate matter, okay? If your stuff doesn't go through probate, then you don't have to worry about estate recovery. That's the way the law is right now today. In most other states, that isn't true. In most other states, what they'll do is they'll put a lien on your property when you apply for the Medicaid. Now, the Ladybird deed is a way around the current law. The way the law is right now today, the Ladybird deed is an answer to that. But if Michigan goes the way of the 48 other states, then it's not going to work, because when they put that Medicaid mortgage on your house, the Ladybird deed doesn't help you. Okay, that's one problem with the Ladybird deed, where people use it for the long-term care planning. It's like, oh, well, this is a solution. Now, the fact is, I use Ladybird deeds too. I use them all the time in a case where we don't have enough, where we don't pre-plan. In a crisis case, we'll use the Ladybird deed. But there's a cloud on the sun, because over the last few weeks, we've gotten a case denied because we used the Ladybird deed. At least that's what they're saying. We've appealed the case. We'll see if we can find out. But the story, and it's just a story, okay? This is just what they're saying. You know, secondhand. So who knows what the truth of it is? We'll figure it out eventually. But what they're saying is that there's going to be a regulation come out that says that the Ladybird deed is a divestment for Medicaid purposes. In other words, you can't use a Ladybird deed and still qualify for the Medicaid benefits for long-term care. Now, will they do that? Won't they do that? Hey, I don't know. I got to be very clear. I'm just passing along rumor at this point. But I did have a case, but the fact is that the case was denied, and the only reason they're pointing to is that we did a Ladybird deed. Now, I am confident that under the current state of the law, right, we're going to win the appeal. I have no doubt about that. But it gives you the heebie-jeebies about, well, they are going to change it, and what happens when they do? If they do, now what? Will the Ladybird deed continue to work? Stay tuned. I don't know. See?
Okay. So,
see, a lot of people, too, will do these Ladybird deeds, and they'll deed it to, you know, say, oh, let's do a trust, they'll do a Ladybird deed, and they'll deed it to, you know, three kids, four kids, two kids, whatever. And the other problem you get into is, even if it works, even if it does exactly what you think, you wind up with, you know, three or four kids on the deed. You know, now you've died. It goes to your kids. Now they're on the deed, right? And now who's going to sell it? And now how's it going to get sold? And can they all agree? And will all the in-laws agree as well? It just gets it's one of the tools in the toolbox. It has its purposes. It has its uses. But unfortunately, like so many other things, people start thinking, well, this is the answer to everything. Is that helpful?
Okay. I don't have brothers and sisters, so that's not going to be important, but I am trying to find a way to keep my mother's home as well as getting Medicaid for her.
Sure. Sure. Well, and is your mom in a long-term care facility right now?
Yes.
Well, the Lady Bird deed is right now, and again, the lively legal discussion, not legal advice and all the rest, because you don't know what the facts, I don't know what all the facts are, but that's the music. So I've got to get going, but give us a call, 888-463-2843. You know, come on in and we'll take a look at what's really going on. You've been listening to The David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney.